Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm really struggling this morning. I got a message prepared, gave them all the scriptures at the back, even got some notes on it. But then when Pastor Richard gave that word, and then when John said, keep your eyes on Jesus, not on the storm, I really felt strongly that I should change my message. And this is a bit embarrassing because we've advertised that the message will be on Thanksgiving, but I really feel strongly to change this message, okay, just because I feel the Lord saying, preach about the storm. So I'm sorry about that, and if you can quickly find the scriptures, Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 35. I've been a Christian for, 65 years. Long time, isn't it? I've been following Jesus Christ for 65 years, and I've been preaching for probably 64 of those 65 years. And I always thought that, you know, the older you get as a Christian, the easier it becomes, but it doesn't. And those older ones here will know that it's just as difficult to be a Christian when you first get saved as it is when you're going on with God, and you've a few years behind you, because the enemy never gives up. There's always storms in our life. When I was just a Christian a couple of years, that's all I was, just 2 years, I was struggling. And there was an elder in the church one day saw me and he said, are you all right, John? I said, well, I'm having a bit of a tough time because I find that I'm still doing things that I know I shouldn't do. I'm struggling. I came from an unchristian home. Big family. My dad was a drunkard. There was never any money around. I got a huge family of us. There was 11 of us in a two-bedroomed terraced house. We had a tin bath outside that we used to have to fetch in and fill up with hot water. It was a tough, tough time. I became a Christian, but some things were hanging on to me of the old life. And an elder in the church, when he spoke to me, he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm not. I'm finding it difficult to give some things up." And he says, come on outside with me. So I went outside from the church, and on the road, he said, look down the road. And there were these beautiful trees planted on both sides of the road. They were ornamental cherry trees and fully grown right the way down. Beautiful. This is in England. And in the autumn, the leaves used to turn magnificent colors, beautiful, all sorts of beautiful colors. And then the winter would come, the leaves would fall through the wind and the rain and the snow and the sleet. The leaves would fall. And he says to me, have you noticed that some leaves don't fall off? I said, well, actually, I have. He says, most of the leaves on these trees will fall. No matter what happens, they'll go through a winter, but some of them will hang on. They become not a beautiful color, they become black and gnarled and twisted, but they're hanging on there. I says, yeah, I've noticed that. He says, but when spring comes and the sap starts to rise, the new life, through the trunk, into the branches, and into the twigs, and into the buds, the new life pushes off those old dead leaves, and they fall, and new life comes, new leaves come. He said, let me tell you, John, there are things that will be hanging on in your life. Don't get condemned by it. Don't be put down by it, but just trust that the new life of Jesus, as it grows within you, as it springs up within you, will be like sap rising through you and push those old things off. And do you know what? They've done it. They have done it. I've proved it over and over again. It's the life of Jesus that gives you the power to give up those things that want to hang on. It is. It's a fact. And this scripture from Mark chapter, did say Mark 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall or storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care that we perish? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still!" Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I love this story. There's so much in it. So that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." In other words, we're not staying here. We're on a journey. And can I say this? If you're born again, if you've started to follow in Jesus, you're on a journey. This is no longer your home. You're not here. You're not here forever. Leaving, and it was evening. The darkness was coming. And he says, "Don't let's stay in the darkness. Let's go over to the other side." And how many of you know that God has told us we're going over to the other side? We're going over to heaven. Hallelujah. Heaven is our destination. Heaven is our home. And I know that the journey is important as well. And we're on a wonderful journey. But let me just say, sometimes a journey can get tough. Keep your eye on the destination, for that's where Jesus is taking us. And I just love that. He says to the disciples, "We're going to go over. We're going over to the other side." I love that. Let's go over to the other side. And listen to what he says next. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. Sometimes you've got to leave the crowd behind. The crowd here are those people who don't want to go. Those people who don't want to go to the other side. There's a crowd of people that will keep drawing you back. Don't care what age you are. If you're young, there's peer group pressure in school and colleges. At work, there's peer group pressure there, holding on to you, wanting to hold you back. When I first became a Christian, one of my elder brothers, he was 9 years older than me, and his name is Bill, and I love my brother Bill. I wanted to be like him. I really wanted to be like my brother Bill. But I've become a Christian. And he said to me a few months after I become a Christian, "John, I don't like you the way you are. I want you to give it up. Give this Jesus thing up and be as you was before." Because I used to have a filthy, dirty mouth. I used to be a gang leader. And my brother says, "I don't like you as you are now. Go back to what you was." I says, "Bill, I can't do that. I'm following Jesus. He's won me. He saved me. He's changing me. I'm going to keep following him." And my brother said to me, "If you don't give it away, if you don't stop, I'll never talk to you again." And my brother Bill just cut me off, and he never spoke to me again. He died a lonely old man in Mexico, but he cut me off. I want to tell you that hurt me. So did other members of my family. Cut me off because I become a Christian. But you know what? I have to leave the crowd behind. I have to go forward in Jesus. I can't afford for the crowd to drag me back. One of the things why I like about what we've seen today with that Ching Challenge down in Esperance, the ranch they've got there, what I like, they're telling people, come out from the city, come out from the crowd, get away from those who want to influence your life, come and stay down here. And they're down there for a couple of years or so till they find Jesus, I find strength, and they can come back, and they're not going to be so easily drawn in. You can be sucked in by the crowd, and I'm going to tell you, you can be sucked in by media, you can be sucked in by Facebook, you can be sucked in by all these things that want to suck you in and don't want you to go forward with Jesus. The majority of people in the world today are telling you, don't believe. Don't believe. I was watching last night on YouTube this the beginning, they said, of the Big Bang. And this scientist was talking, and he says, in this minuscule of a second, all the universes that we know, you could take them back to a point where there was no time, there was no space, but where there was a big bang. And in that point when this explosion took place, this big bang, all of a sudden it was so hot that the whole of the universe was actually formed there and then. And it started to spread out and cool down, and atoms were formed, and then we got what we got. And I listened to this guy. I thought, you idiot. Where did the Big Bang come from if there's nothing there? He says, all that we see today, all the universes, the galaxies. And he said there's universes beyond our universe, which I think there are. But he says all the galaxies, the solar system, everything started from an infinite point in time of nothing. That were the words he used, of nothing. I am not a scientist, but I know that nothing can only produce
nothing.
You got it. You got it. How could anything but nothing, nothing produce this? I'm listening to that. I thought, no, I don't want to go down that road. I believe God is a creator. I believe in him we live and move and have our being. I believe God is a creator of everything. He's a creator of space and time. He inhabits everything. God is a great invisible God. I believe that. So leaving the crowd behind, the crowd will drag you down. The crowd will make you feel a fool. The crowd will tell you you're nonsensical. The crowd will tell you you're stupid for being a Christian. Well, you people here this morning, most people out there, if they know you come to church today, they'll call you stupid. But you know what? I want to tell you, like I told them on Wednesdays, even today, in this day and age in Australia, more people will be in church today than there will be in the football matches. It's a fact. Still over a billion people on planet Earth believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. And that billion people are on a journey with him. So let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. I like that phrase. They didn't try to change him. Some people try to change Jesus. I'll follow Jesus, but I want him to do this, this. No, don't try and change him. I found that Jesus Christ, in 65 years, I found that Jesus Christ is the most stubborn person you can meet. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For those who don't know, I've just quoted a scripture. That's in the Bible. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's stubborn. He isn't going to change. Do you know why he's come to you? Because he wants to change you. You're the one to change, not him. He expects you to change because he ain't going to change. You know why? Because he's perfect. How can you change something that's perfect? If it's perfect, it is perfect. You're not. So leave the crowd behind. Take Jesus along with you in this journey just as he is. Don't try and change him. I remember as a young Christian, I was with a man in our church who was doing something particularly wrong. I won't go into any details, but he says to me, and I said, what are you doing that for? That's wrong. And he said, it's all right, John. Me and God, we've got an understanding about this. That's what he says. Me and God, we've got an understanding. I said, you foolish man. I says, God never, ever, 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 ever will come to an understanding about your sin. He wants you to get rid of it. He's not going to say, well, I understand. You're weak. You can't help it. You need it. I understand. I'll go along with it. No, he doesn't. God says, give it to me. Let's change it. Let's change you. Take Jesus along as it. Don't try and change Jesus. Let Jesus change you. So he says, you know, they left the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was. And it says there were other boats also with him. So there's other people following him. How many of you know? There's a lot of people. I've said there's over a billion people follow Jesus Christ, and they're in different denominations. They're not all in the same denomination. There's a lot of boats following Jesus. Hallelujah. A lot of them. You're not on your own. We tend to think sometimes that Christianity is dying out in Australia and we're on our own. Well, let me just tell you, Christianity isn't dying out, never will die out. When Jesus returns, he'll return for his church. He's not returning for nothing. He's returning for his church. The church is strong. Hallelujah. It says there were other boats with him. So they're all setting off. And then he says as they were going into the lake, this is the Lake of Galilee, it says, a furious squall came up, or a storm. Now, we know about the storms at the moment, don't we? Seen a lot of flooding, a lot of how many of you know damage can be caused by the storms? Trees come down, big, huge trees come down. Flooding is caused. When nature gets loose, man's got no answer for it. Whether it be water or fire. whether it be earthquakes or whatever, where nature, and you know, man might think he's big, but once nature starts to flex its muscle, man realizes how small he is. Is that true? Come on, that is true. He says, a furious squall came, a storm came on this huge lake that they were on. And it says, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now take a note of that. The waves were so furious they were getting in the boat where the disciples were. There were 13 men in this boat and the waves were coming in. A lot of these men were fishermen. They're used to this lake. A lot of them were brought up on the lake. They got businesses in fishing on the lake. They knew about the storms, but this one was a particularly bad one. And the waves were coming into the boat. So what did these disciples do? Panicked. They were afraid. They thought, this is it. We're finished. We're gone. We are finished. A furious storm came up. Waves broke into the boat that it was nearly swamped. I like the word nearly, because it didn't get swamped. It just got nearly. And I want to tell you, many times I've been beaten up. I'm talking about spiritually. You know, the devil's had a go at me at times. And sometimes he's got a few pointers over me. And sometimes he's knocked me down. Sometimes the devil stomped all over me and thought, I've got you. But I heard somebody say many, many years ago, John, you're a Christian and you're going to be in a warfare. And it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. What matters is how many times you get up. And this person said to me, John, you only need to get up one more time than you got knocked down and you've won. Come on. The devil might nearly defeat you, but don't stay down. Don't stay down. You heard that wonderful word? Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look to people. Look to God. Don't stay down. If you're feeling down this morning, if you're feeling oppressed, or if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling life's not worth living, stop looking at your circumstances, because you're nearly swamped by doing that. But look to Jesus. They were nearly swamped. They were looking at the waves coming in. I tell you, they got all their buckets there. They were emptying the water as fast as it was coming in, trying to get it out as quick. And somebody says, where's Jesus? I love this. I love this. Where's Jesus? Jesus, it says, was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. It would have been a wet one. But he was sleeping on it. Am I right? If the boat was nearly swamped, there's water everywhere. He's sleeping. I once heard a preacher preach on this, and he says, thank God that they woke him up. Thank God that they, because if they hadn't have woken Jesus up, they'd be dead. They all would have drowned, because you've got to keep Jesus alive and awake in the boat. I'm listening to this guy talking. I'm thought, hang on a minute, he's missed something. Jesus said to the disciples before they got in the boat, let's go over to the other side. He didn't say, let's go to the middle and sink. He didn't say, let's get halfway there and drown. His last orders before he had a sleep was, let's go over to the other side. But it didn't click. He's asleep. He's had no sleeping tablets. He's sleeping, and he's sleeping peacefully. The other 12 men are panicking. They're fighting for their lives, and Jesus is asleep. And somebody said, wake him up. Give him a bucket. There's another one here. He can help us to get the water out. That's what happened. That's why they woke him up. No other reason. Wake him up. What's he doing sleeping? We're going to... And this is what... When they woke him, whoever it was, pushed him and said, wake up! Don't you care that we're going to die? That's what they said. Don't you care if we perish? How many of you know what an incredible insult that was to Jesus? You wouldn't say anything like that to Jesus, would you? When things go wrong in your life, you've never said to Jesus, what's happening to me, Lord? Don't you care? You're too spiritual, aren't you? But I'll tell you what, most of you have said it. I'll be honest with you, I've said it. I've said when things have really gone wrong in my life, when the storm has hit, I've sometimes said, oh God, where are you? What have I done to deserve this? Oh, there's a quietness out there now, isn't there? You're still there, aren't you? What have I done to deserve this? Why is this happening to me? I'm good. I'm a follower of yours. I pay my tithes. I even look after the missions. And I come to church every time I can. I'm regular. Why is this happening to me? That's what these disciples are saying. Don't you care that we're going to drown? How many of you know Jesus came from heaven to earth because he cared? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus into our storm. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus into your problems, your perplexities, your wickedness, your evilness, your sickness, your poverty, whatever it is, he sent Jesus to you because he loves you. Jesus was sleeping in the storm because he was at peace and the storm couldn't harm him. And while ever he was there with his disciples, couldn't harm them. I like to think, what happened if Peter, when he saw Jesus asleep, I don't know which one woke him, or which one, it didn't tell us. But it meant, let's say it was Peter. And say, where's the Lord? And so Thomas said, he's asleep on a cushion. I think they actually mentioned the cushion. He's asleep on the cushion. He's having a good sleep. Peter could have looked at him and said, is he? Well, I think I will as well. I'm going to go to sleep. Put your bucket down, lad. Let's have a sleep. You may say, John, that's stupid. These fishermen were doing the right thing. They were trying to get through the storm. They were trying to get the water out. No, they couldn't have got the water out. The boat was nearly swamped. But if they'd have just sat down with Jesus and took it easy, do you know what? That boat wouldn't have sunk. It would have ended at the other side if it was full of water. You're not sure about that, are you? Come on. If you, through the storm, he brings you. He brings you through the storm. Now, a lot of, like this storm was stopped by Jesus, but some people are going through storms in their life, and the storm don't get stopped. You actually go all the way through it, but you come through it. You come out. How many times have you been in a situation where you've got, something's happened to you? It might be sickness, it might be poverty, it might be family problems, it might be some sort of thing that's got you hooked, and you thought to yourself, I'm not going to make it. This thing's going to drag me down. This thing's going to kill me. And you thought that in the middle of it. I'm not going to make it. But guess what? You did. That's why you're here today. Come on. And I know some of you have got some storms raging in your lives right now. Some of you have. Some of you are going through things, and if others of you here knew what some people in this congregation that I know about, Pastor Pamela knows about, and the elders know about, what people are going through right now in an incredible storm in their life, but God's going to bring them through it. You see, when they woke Jesus up and said, don't you care if we drown, it was immediately Jesus was not happy. It says he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He didn't like being woken up, and who does? Come on, when that alarm clock goes up in the morning, you want to throw it at the wall, don't you? Who likes to just, who likes to have a lie in? Hands up. Come on, hands up. Let's look. Oh, look at all those liars. Not putting that. You all like to have a lie in, don't you? Jesus was having a lie in. He was sleeping. By the way, he'd been working very hard all through the day. He had actually been working, miracle after miracle, preaching, teaching. There were thousands with listening to him. And now he's on the boat. He's asleep. He needs a rest. So they woke him up. And he was not happy. And he says he rebuked the storm. That word rebuke in the Greek is an interesting word. It's the same word that is used when Jesus rebuked a demon inside of a man. A man came to Jesus that was demon-possessed, and Jesus rebuked the demon. It's the same word, which gives me an understanding that this particular storm was not just a natural storm that comes. This was something that had been started by Satan himself. He saw perhaps a possibility of sinking this boat with the Savior in it and the disciples. He wanted to put an end to it. And so Jesus knew that, but he wasn't going to sink them. Because Jesus, you can't sink. By the way, you can't sink Jesus. Jesus is indestructible. Can I just say that? Like, you're not, but he is. And if you're following him, so are you. You're indestructible. I believe, but because I'm a Christian, a follower of Jesus, like many of you here, I believe that in Jesus Christ, I am indestructible. They haven't invented a bomb big enough to destroy me. They don't care what it is. What atomic bomb, hydrogen, what nuclear weapons. None of them can destroy me. They might blow my body apart, but they can't destroy me. Because I'm going to the new place. I'm going to heaven. I am indestructible. I have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And even if they blow this body of mine and to smithereens, when Jesus returns and the resurrection takes place, he'll get it, wherever it is, or he'll bring it back to life again. Because we're indestructible if we're following the indestructible one. Are you glad about that?
Yes.
Come on, you're indestructible. Many, many Christians have been martyred for Jesus. Many have been put to death physically for Jesus. But hey, they're not dead. They're with him now in paradise. Hallelujah. So Jesus was a little bit angry. I think he was angry at the devil for causing the storm. So he rebuked the storm. He says, virtually he says, shut up. Shut up and be quiet. That's what he says if you read it. He says, and one of our translations says, peace. Be still. And people say that was a word that he used, peace, shalom. No, it wasn't shalom. He didn't use that word. He was saying, shut up, be quiet, calm down. That's what he was saying. Isn't that wonderful? He was saying that to the devil. Shut up, calm down, shut up. But I got a sneaky feeling he wasn't only saying it to the devil and to the storm. I got a sneaky feeling he was saying it to his disciples. Because they'd woke him up. And those disciples were panicking. How many of you know panicking is not a good thing? And how many of you know panicking just takes hold of you all of a sudden? Have you noticed that? You can be frightened of something, but panic comes all of a sudden. You don't say to your partner, hey, look, I just sense there's a panic coming on in me. Give me 15 to 20 minutes and I'll be in a panic. You don't do that. You don't work up to a panic. You work up to anger and all that. But a panic, it hits you. Bang! And when you're hit by a panic, you do things you shouldn't do at times. And these men were panicking. I think Jesus says to them, shut up. Be quiet. Be calm. And I believe he said that to them, as well as he said it to the storm. Now, the interesting thing is it said the storm obeyed him. There was a great calm. And the disciples suddenly, now try and look at this. These 12 men, most of them were fishermen, standing knee deep in water in this boat, and the boat's going like this all over the place. And they wake Jesus up. He's angry and he shouts with a loud voice, be quiet, shut up. And all of a sudden, stops raining, stops windy, stops blowing, stops lightning, the thunder stops. It's calm. Immediately, there's no water splashing around them. There's no water licking up at the boat. It's calm. It's like one of those times when you see beautiful lakes, they look like glass. It's just so calm, no wind blowing. And the disciples looked at it. And they looked at Jesus. And they looked at the storm. And while they were doing this, Jesus says, why were you so afraid? Have you still got no faith? And then it says, They were terrified of him. The storm was now at peace, but there's a man standing there. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen him doing, but this one, they were terrified. He said they were terrified. So guess what? They were now panicking about him. That's human nature for you, isn't it? They still was not realizing, hey, come on, we're going to the other side. And no matter what storms you go through, you're going to go through them. But I'm going to bring you out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been through many storms. And I know people that's been through many storms. And if you're not careful, storms can affect you. Like winter experiences can affect you. And storms can leave you fearful and damaged and quaking and scarred. But I don't think storms should leave Christians like that. If I could say a prayer today for every one of you, Lord, I pray that this congregation will never go through a spiritual, mental, or emotional storm again, or physical storm. I pray they won't. And God answered that prayer. You'd think that would be pretty good, wouldn't you? Let me look at you. Would you like to know that you can go from today and never have a storm again? Would you like that? Because if you won't, I'm not going to go on any further. Would you like to know you think, I want to go through life without any storms. I don't want to get bugged. I don't want anybody to upset me. I want to just glide through life. Well, here's the bad news. You can't. There'll always be storms here. Because the prince of this world, the devil, will make sure that there is. That's why some of you good Christians are going through storms now. Some of you are having real difficulty. Some of you sitting at home right now are going through a storm. And you're thinking, yeah, well, I'm in the midst of a storm. I want it to go. Well, it may not. It may. It's amazing what God can do when we pray, how he can turn things around. But this is what I want to tell you. Even if the storm doesn't go, but you come through it, you'll come through it unscarred. My mother had a tough time with my dad. My mother wanted to be a dancer. She left home. She left a Christian home. She ran away from home when she was 14, my mother did. She was born in 1904, and she ran away from home to be a dancer. Things didn't work out the way that she wanted to. Anyway, she got pregnant by my dad, and on the first night, she met him in a pub. And he was 18 years older than my mum. My dad had been through the First World War and saw some horrific things. And it made him turn to the drink. And he probably should never have got married, but he got married and had all these kids. And so my mum never, ever seemed to have anything. And I can remember times when I was a young kid, seeing my mum cry, weeping. And I'd say, what's wrong, Mum? I was next to the youngest in the family. And she says, got no money, got no food. But, you know, she'd say that, but I tell you what, I never went without a meal. She always found something for us. I know she went without meals, but we never did. And I saw her crying and hurt, and I said to her once, Mum, don't worry. I was about 7 years old when I said to her, Mum, don't worry. And she looked at me and she snarled. She says, don't worry. Don't worry. Somebody's got to worry because he won't. If I don't worry, nobody will. And she was so angry with me that day because I said to her not to worry. I saw the damage that those storms of life did to my mum. I saw what it did. She died at the age of 63 with cancer. And she just felt her whole life had she'd missed it. And I saw what the damage had done to her in that it had given her, in many ways, a very bitter spirit. And she was a fighter. My mother was a fighter. And she was feisty. And her language was... Well, when I became a Christian, a couple of years after being a Christian, I led my mother to the Lord. She got saved. She got wonderfully born again. She got the peace of God. And she knew that she'd walked away from that as a girl. But now she'd got back to it again. But I saw the damage that the storms did when she didn't have Jesus. Now, I've had storms in my life. I'm going through a storm right now. But I tell you what, because I've got Jesus and he's in the boat sleeping peacefully in my spirit, I'm not going to let the storms cause me damage. I'm not going to let the storms give me scars. I'm going to come through the storm and I'm going to go into the storm with a smile, with thanksgiving in my heart to God. I'm going to go through the storm with thanksgiving in my heart to God. I'm coming out of the storm with thanksgiving in my heart to God. I'm going to make sure that God keeps me sane, that God keeps me in his joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm going to make sure that I've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm going to do that because I know that's what God wants me to have. There will come a time when there will not be any more storms. We call it heaven. There'll be no more Satan. There'll be no more cohorts of Satan up there. There'll be no more death or sickness or tears. There'll be no more arguing and quarreling. No more racial discrimination. There'll be no more lust and greed and grasping. And there'll be no more politics. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's upset some of you. Hey, I'm telling you, there'll be no more politics in heaven. Come on. Yes. No mortgage in heaven.
Yes.
No rents in heaven.
Yes.
No taxes in heaven.
Yes.
Do you know why? Because there'll be no money in heaven. You'll have everything you need. You won't have to buy anything because you follow Jesus. You will have everything that satisfies you, body, soul, and spirit. Glory to God. I really felt the Lord wanted me to speak this morning. This other word can wait for another time. Because there's people here who are in storms. Have you got Jesus with you? Is he in the boat? Are you trusting him? I know perhaps you want that storm to go right away. Well, eventually it will. But whether it's right now or whether it's in a short period of time, who knows? But I want you to be a good person because Jesus is in your heart. I want you to be washed in his blood. Because Jesus is in your heart. I want you to desire what is right and proper and pure. And even though you find that old things hang on, remember, as a new life rises, as the sap rises, it pushes off the old, twisted and gnarled leaves. Every day, in every way, I'm getting better all the time. Because I'm a Christian. Every day, in every way, I'm getting better all the time because I've got Jesus. And I could keep you for hours talking about heaven, but I just want to say this one thing about heaven. Heaven's a wonderful place. Incredible things are going to happen to us. But the best thing about heaven will be seeing Jesus. I could put my arms around him and listen, I can hug him for a million years and you'll get your chance. Because there's no time in heaven. Amen?
Amen?
I can hug him for a million years and you can hug him for 2 million years then if you want to. But I'm going to love him and hug him because he has saved me. He has came down to rescue me from the storm. John, let's go over to the other side. Come on, John, let's go to the other. Don't stay here. There's nothing here for you. Darkness is coming. The night is coming. You don't need to be here. Let's go to a better place than this. That's what a Christian is, simply a person who's following Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, do you know that Jesus is in your heart? Have you got him there? Can you say he's in my boat and I'm going to trust him? And even though these things are not going right in my life, I'm not going to stop trusting Jesus. I'm going to give him my whole life. How many people here today that God has spoken to and you say, yep, I'm going through a storm. But I'm going to keep going through it with Jesus. I'm not going to go through it alone. I'm keeping trusting him. Now, can I just have the light switched on just so that I can see? I just want to see your faces for a moment while I pray. We'll come to the end of the sermon. But what I want to do is just pray for people here who have been touched by this message. And you'd say, John, I'm going through a storm. I just need a touch from God. If that's you, If that's you, everybody's walking off to the cafe, and I'm giving an appeal. Anybody that's gone to the cafe that needs to be in this appeal, get back here. So I'm serious. This is the most important part of our service. When God is dealing with us, when God is talking to us, and whether we respond or not. Do you hear me? Everybody here, you've all heard. You heard right at the beginning a lovely prophecy that was given. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look to man. Look to God. You heard it. You heard what John says. Keep your eye off the storm and keep your eye on Jesus. That's what you got to do. And if God has spoken to you and you really need a prayer, just raise your hand just now so I can see it. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Look, we've got time. If you quickly just get up from your seats and come and stand here. Come on. All those who raise their hand, come and stand at the front. Come on. I want to say a prayer for you. And others that need to join them. If you know you're not, hey, come on, I'm serious. If you know that you're doubting whether Jesus is in the boat, well, you come. You make sure that he's in the boat with you. I'm going to pray right now. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I'm going to pray that God will do something very, very wonderful in your lives. Whatever storm you're going through, you're going to come through it. Amen. You're not staying in the storm. You're coming through the storm. And you're going to, I'll tell you what, you're going to end up in heaven with Jesus and with me. I'm going to give you a hug in heaven as well as giving Jesus a hug because you've come through, because he's brought you through. Amen. Father, for each person standing here, and Lord, if there's people in the congregation that you've spoken to, but are still there, they haven't budged, then I pray right now they'll get up and come for this prayer. If they know you're speaking to them, Lord, not to turn their backs on you, but to come. And I pray they'll come with these people here, and Lord, I pray that each person standing here right now will sense your peace upon them. The quietness of your Holy Spirit coming upon them now, right now, descending upon them, putting your loving arms around them, and letting them know that you dearly love them. There's not one person, Lord, at this altar that you want to go away. Not one. You want them here, and you want them to feel your arms around them, loving them, caring for them, and that you will, step by step, bring them through this storm. I pray for miracles in lives today. Bring miracles to pass. For each one, in the name of Jesus, bring a miracle. Bring a miracle. In the name of Jesus, for each one, bring a miracle in their lives. Right now, Lord, every single one of them. For my brother there, Lord, bring a miracle in his life. Brother, I want to just tell you something. Come here. Come here. Come here. God's going to do a miracle in your life, a good miracle. Father, do something very special in this man. Set him absolutely free from the bondage of his mind, from those things, Lord, that this world and the enemy has put upon him to hold him down and to bind him. Set him absolutely free by the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Amen. May you have complete success in this storm that you're going through, that you'll have the victory and you'll give the glory. Make sure you give all the glory to God. Amen. When you do that, and all of you, great success in Jesus. I'm praying hard for you that the desire of your heart will come to pass. And the Lord would say, as you delight in me, I will grant you the desires of your heart. And I know that you're delighting in the Lord. And I know the storm that you're going through. Most people here don't know it, but I'm praying that God will bring you through and grant you miracle upon miracle upon miracle in the name of Jesus. Every one of you, every one of this lovely family here, Lord, bless them abundantly in the name of Jesus. And my brother, Lord, bless him abundantly in the name of every one of them. Father, I pray that this will be a turning point in their lives today, that we go through the storm with you, Jesus, and we go right through to the other side. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.